You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following message was presented by Dr. Wallace Schultz on the Lutheran Hour. It's titled, God Judges Little Lies Severely. Now here is Dr. Schultz.
Is it really possible that the average American is guilty of lying 200 times every day? This is the stunning conclusion published by the well-known social psychologist Gerald Jellison. Jellison further explains that lying and deception have now become so much a part of our culture that we simply do not think twice about deceiving others. Of course, very much the same thing is going on in Canada and the Caribbean and in other countries. Without a second thought, we freely say, sorry, I am late, I was held up at the office, when in fact this was not the case. Or, sorry, I am late, my car didn't start, when that was not true either. Or when the waiter asks us at the restaurant, how was everything? And we respond, just fine, just fine. And we say this even though the meat was overdone, or the service was lousy. And the bottom line is, of course, in these and many other situations, we are simply not being honest. In a front-page cover story with the bold headline stating, Lying in America, U.S. News and World Report magazine stated that lying and deception are no longer confined to the barroom or the poker table. According to one press secretary who served in the White House, there is today a sense that everything is relative. It all depends, they say, and nothing is absolutely right or wrong anymore. And what is the cause of all of this? Increase in the attitude that lying is okay as long as you can get away with it. According to this same report, those now studying the situation are convinced that many of the roots of lying and deception, especially among children and teenagers, can be traced to the breakdown of the family. Family breakups and divorces cause children to spend less time with their parents. Listen to the words of the president of one of the largest and best-known universities in the U.S. He said, to the extent that family life is disintegrating, kids are not being taught values about lying and cheating and stealing. Now, anyone acquainted with the Bible knows what happened to the people in the Old Testament who lied. They were often taken outside of the city and stoned to death publicly. This is how God ordered that lying be treated in those days. Of course, some might say that was the Old Testament. Things have changed, they say. But this is like one senator from Minnesota who, when he was investigated by the Senate Ethics Committee a few years ago, and when he was charged with lying, he said, public attitudes about political ethics are changing, and we have to change with them or be swept aside. Oh, no. No, according to the Bible, according to the Word of God, what is right and wrong has not changed. And if we do change, and if we get on the bandwagon and begin all to believe and to live as if lying and deception is pleasing to God, then we will be swept not aside, but into the fires of hell and our own judgment. No, God's anger toward the sin of lying, including little white lies, is not confined to the Old Testament. In fact, instead of listening to my opinion on this matter, or anyone else's opinion, let me read a brief but dramatic section from the New Testament in the Bible, which shows clearly God's attitude regarding lying and deception. A certain man named Ananias, the Bible tells us, with his wife Sapphira, sold a piece of property. However, instead of giving all the profit to the Lord, they kept back some of the price. Ananias did this with his wife's full knowledge. He brought part of the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Peter, however, said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back some of the price of the land? Why is it then that you have conceived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. Then the Bible says, as he heard these words, Ananias fell down and breathed his last. Ananias died on the spot. Great fear, the Bible explains, came upon all those who heard of it. And then the young man arose and covered him up, and after carrying him out, they buried him. 3 hours later, the Bible explains, his wife came in. She did not know what had happened. Peter said to the wife, "Tell me, did you sell the land for such and such a price?" She responded by saying, "Yes, that was the price." Then Peter said to her, "Why is it that you and your husband have agreed to put the Spirit of the Lord to the test?" "Behold," Peter said to her, "the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they shall carry you out as well." Immediately, according to the Bible, this woman fell at Peter's feet and died. And then again, the Bible explains, the young men carried the woman out and they buried her beside her husband. The Bible then concludes by saying, great fear came upon the whole church and upon all who heard of these things. Now, our culture today may minimize and even trivialize lying and deception. God, however, in His holy word, does not. One biblical scholar who spent much of his life studying the book of Revelation pulls no punches. He states simply and directly that in the Bible, lying is a sin, often singled out in Scripture as being especially hateful to God. For example, in Proverbs chapter 6, we read, "There are 6 things that the Lord hates, and one of the first ones listed is lying." Again, in Psalms chapter 5, we read, "Thou dost destroy those who speak falsehood." Of course, we may say that if lying is so bad, and if God really hates lying so much, then why doesn't He do something about it? Why do we see lying going on unchecked at the highest levels of our government? Why is political deception going on even in the church? The Apostle Peter answers these questions when he writes, "Know this first of all, that in the last days mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of His coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all continues just as it was from the beginning." Peter was saying that there will be those who will make fun of the Bible and the Christian faith simply because God seems to be unconcerned about sin and that He seems to do nothing, especially to liars. But then St. Peter explains, "Do not let this one fact escape your notice, that with the Lord one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slow," he says, "about His promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance." You see, God knows every sinful lie that you and I speak. He knows each time that you or I distort another person's reputation through gossip. Not one sin escapes God, not even the smallest one. And the reason that God has not brought judgment upon your sin of lying and mine is because God is patient and loving, and He is giving us time to repent. The Bible scholar I just referred to goes on to say that the sin of lying is the sin with which all men deserve to be cast into the lake of fire, into damnation that is eternal. This is to say that when it comes to the sin of lying, even the best of us, even those of us who think that we are not all that bad, even you and I, come under the condemnation of God. Not long ago, a lady who had worked for a publisher in Missouri retired at the age of 65. She didn't want to retire, but she was forced to do so. So, with stubborn determination, and instead of sitting around, she then found other work. She worked full-time until her 100th birthday. Imagine that. And at her birthday, she said, "I never smoked, I never drank, and I tried not to tell a lie." The last one of not telling a lie, she said, was the hardest. This lady, bless her soul, is absolutely correct. Failing to tell the truth in all situations is not only difficult, but because of our sinful nature, it is impossible. And I say to you, Jesus said, that every careless word that men shall speak, they shall render account for it in the day of judgment. This is also, my friend, why what Jesus said makes it totally impossible for any of us to stand before God, now or on the day of judgment. When it comes to not telling the truth all the time, each of us stumbles at one time or another. And in His Word, God tells us that if we are guilty in one point, then we are guilty in all points. There is, however, good news. The prophet Isaiah writes, "Woe is me, for I am ruined, because I am a man of unclean lips. Isaiah confessed, that he was condemned in God's sight because he had not always been honest. But then he adds with great joy, "Then one of the seraphim, one of the angels, flew to me with a burning coal in his hand, which he had taken from the altar with tongs. And the angel touched my mouth with it and said, 'Behold, this has touched your lips, and your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is forgiven.'" Oh, indeed, it is a shocking thing to consider the possibility, as was reported by a leading sociologist, that you and I are guilty in one way or another of telling, on an average, 200 lies each day. And it is equally sobering to understand that each time we do this, we sin against God, and each time we lie, we drive the nails into the hands and the feet of our crucified Christ. You see, when Jesus hung bleeding on the cross, he was suffering for all of our sins of lying and white lying and clever deception and half-truths. For this reason, when you and I see our hopeless and desperate situation before a holy and righteous God, yes, for this reason, we rejoice with the Apostle Paul when he says in Romans chapter 5, "For while we were still helpless, at the right time, Jesus Christ died for the ungodly. God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Jesus Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him, through Jesus." And so then, my friend, let's be honest when it comes to lying. It is staggering to see how much of this goes on, not only in our general society, but also in your life and mine. It is frightening to see how severely God is going to judge us if we refuse to repent, to change our ways, and to cling to Christ for pardon and for forgiveness. In spite of our lying, however, in Jesus Christ we are surprised by joy. Without the sin-atoning death of Christ, you and I would be condemned forever in the fires of everlasting hell. But praise be to our gracious Heavenly Father, even though you and I are condemned for our sins of lying, Jesus Christ has died for us. This is the good news. And Jesus not only assures us of our total forgiveness, he also offers you and me the power for a new life. And this new life in Jesus Christ will enable you to overcome future temptations and to lead a life pleasing to God, and then also to say with the hymn writer with great joy, "Lord Jesus, think on me, and purge away my sin. From earth-born passions, set me free, and make me pure within. O Lord, we pray, by your Spirit, enable me and all who have heard your word today to repent of our sins of lying and deception, and to cling by faith to your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, for only he can save us. Amen."
Thanks for listening. We pray you've been blessed by hearing this message. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.